the talk of planet Earth.
We call it
TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio.
And we know you're going to love it.
TalkZone.com.
Time for more pageant talk radio on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to the show, and thanks for staying with us. Today I'm talking with Carl Dunn of Pageantry and Promtime Magazine. And before the break, we talked a little bit about how the Dunn family really got into pageantry and established the first children's pageants within the United States, which were for scholarships, natural pageants, and also how they developed what was then a pageant newsletter into what you and I know as Pageant Magazine. Carl, there have been, you know, obviously there have been changes in Pageantry Magazine with, you know, growing from that newsletter to, you know, the best known pageant publication internationally. There's also been changes in the pageant community. You know, as you stated before the break, Miss America is no longer held in Atlantic City over Labor Day weekend, which is what has always been held, but now it's actually held in Las Vegas in January. How do you feel that the change of date and location may have impacted the pageant community?
Well, I think it impacted on a positive note. As times change, as society changes, as our business models change, I think it offered them an opportunity to, one, break from the past, but even set themselves up with a new identity. You know, Miss America is the largest running and oldest scholarship program for women in the world.
Right.
Vegas, put them in a separate idea of Atlantic City. Vegas, very glitzy, very showbiz, very up to date, as opposed to Atlantic City. That doesn't mean that there can never be a return to Atlantic City, but I think the timing at that point in their history was positive, and I think it was a much-needed move at that particular time.
I agree. I think it's really easy for pageant fans to get to Las Vegas from any part of the country, and I know that, you know, we often have a lot of pageant fans from Canada and Mexico that fly into Vegas for pageant events. So I kind of think that Las Vegas is becoming the new pageant central because it's so easy to get there. Plus which, they have so many wonderful venues and very experienced lighting and technical crews that it makes it easy to put on a great production, doesn't it?
Well, it does. In fact, you know, Las Vegas really has number one. It is a number one center for convention space within the United States, and is number one with here, where we're based in Orlando, number two. So there are numerous venues. It is close to Hollywood. It is, again, an easy travel, really from anywhere in the country. The hotel rates, again, based upon, you know, their tourism. Hotel rooms are very cost-effective. It allows a lot of people and a lot of events to go in without spending an exorbitant amount of money. So I think a lot of events have moved there because of that. There are some who have, you know, started to move back out again. As, you know, within the economy as it is today, a lot of other locales, like, especially here in Orlando, have started to...
Yes, Orlando is very popular, too.
Yes, it is, and one of the reasons why we're originally based here. So many events come down here because of the family atmosphere of Disney, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, et cetera, that allow us to be able to cover the events without doing a lot of travel and produce a magazine here in Central Florida, even though I originally grew up in South Florida.
Right, and I also like it, you know, when things are in Orlando, and certainly in Vegas to an extent as well, when things are in Orlando, there's lots of things for the pageant fans and for the family to do while the contestants are in rehearsal before the pageant. And I think that is a great option. I think that that's something that directors really need to consider. If they want to bring a big audience, if they want to sell those tickets, they've got to have it in a location that has something to do besides just sit in the hotel room and wait for rehearsals to be over, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it also allows them, as opposed to usually just mother and daughter or a limited extended family, allows in locales such as Vegas, here in Orlando, can have some family activities, allows them to bring even a more extended family to spend time together. Lots of times this is the only time that a father may be able to spend with his daughter.
Right,
It's a wonderful thing to see that, you know, they see their daughter has grown up before their eyes. Especially from a father-daughter standpoint. Myself, I have two sons, and it's wonderful to see them growing up within their activities. And sometimes you don't see that day-to-day, but when you're allowed or given the opportunity to attend an event, especially when it's, you know, 4, 5, 6, up to 7 days, it really allows some nice family time and a chance really to, you know, see their growth and understand, you know, what they're all about and how they are growing up and assimilating your own values.
You know, one of the things that has also changed for the Miss America organization is that they were on network TV, and then they went to CMT for a year and then did a couple years at TLC, and now they've left TLC and are going to be on ABC. What do you think, you know, a lot of people felt that when they went to CMT and then went to TLC, that this was some kind of signal that the Miss America organization was dying or it was not going to be as prestigious anymore. What do you think that transition really means, and what do you think about the fact that they're back on ABC?
Well, I think, you know, and we covered this in many editions of the magazine, from when they first had left what is now considered major network TV, went to cable TV, the move from Atlantic City to Las Vegas. Things have really have changed since, you know, a lot of us grew up. When I grew up, we had three channels.
Now, right.
You've got, you know, depending on your package, you may have 500 channels plus. But one thing that we always talked about, and I think those in the industry recognized, that even though they went from what was considered major network to cable, they always broke the records for that week on that network. Always had high ratings, always had positive reviews, and allowed them again to not reinvent themselves, but reestablish themselves as the Miss America organization that a lot of us grew up with, that a lot of other systems base their policies upon. And then again, with moving back to ABC now, another positive mood. They showed that they could hold their own on a cable network. Again, not just three, but well over 200 plus each time,
right.
As well as other events that are on major networks. So, again, I think ABC looked at it as an opportunity to, you know, rebrand Miss America within their own partnership. And I think it's going to be a great thing for the industry. Again, most people still see things on cable. Most everybody has the cable packages. The ratings were there, but I do think we'll also increase the ratings across the board because, once again, being back on ABC.
And I think, you know, ABC, of course, is owned by Disney and has a great, I think it's a great matching of two really iconic brands within the United States as well as internationally. You know, the Disney ABC family kind of approach and the Miss America organization. I see those as being two things that have very similar goals and values and mission. And so I was not surprised at all that they went to NBC, that was their first choice. Unfortunately, of course, TLC announced it as they had dumped the Miss America organization, when in reality, they had not signed the contract because they had so many other things in the work, and so it was actually their choice to go to ABC, which I think was a great choice in the end. And of course, the Miss Universe organization has been going through some rough times, so to speak, but has also really reinvigorated their broadcast and changed their publicity approach, in that they really drive a lot of publicity in the 7 to 10 days prior to the broadcast to hype up visits to their website and to hype up the broadcast. And of course, the most famous publicity stunt that they've done this year is the photos that they did of the Miss USA contestants in lingerie posing on beds and in other somewhat provocative poses. What did you think about the fact that the pageant asked contestants to pose in that manner?
Well, and I've addressed this, as most of us have in the industry, numerous times. The Miss USA, the Miss Universe organization, they're based upon the entertainment industry.
Yes, they've been very clear about what their brand is.
Exactly. And not to be prude or puritanical or anything, again, we live in a different society than today. The young ladies, and I've talked to many state delegates, many of them at the fashion markets where they model, that they're given the opportunity, and I don't think that anything was really presented within poor taste. They had the options of how they, you know, wanted to pose. I do know that they had different attire out on the table that they could actually choose what they wanted to model in. But again,
right,
it was a great publicity ploy that does drive interest for their telecast before the event. Publicity is everything, whether it's driven by the web, was driven by television, going back to the ABC and Miss America partnership. That gives them the opportunity to promote themselves to a larger, wider audience than they could on cable. Miss Universe, obviously there's a brand of Mr. Trump.
Right.
Everybody knows his name.
Yes, it's very cutting-edge publicity-seeking along the lines of what an actress who is a prominent prominent in the entertainment industry, if she were posing for the cover of a magazine. You know, I've seen Jennifer Aniston do those kinds of poses over and over again on the cover of Maxim and, other gentlemen's magazines, not what we might call pornography or even soft porn, but what are mainstream magazines. So the photos weren't really that different. In my mind, it's just the fact that some people are still confused about the brands. But the Miss USA Universe brand is clearly cutting-edge entertainment glamour, wouldn't you say?
Oh, of course. I totally agree. And I've spoken with many directors, from East Coast to West Coast. And I believe everybody's on board. They do have a brand that they're promoting. They promote it as a today brand, as
right.
An entertainment brand. Again, even their telecast gears towards that entertainment value, where you do have within the stable normally the performances by their own affiliated artist.
Right.
A celebrity.
A celebrity judge. Who's just been on Celebrity Apprentice is helping to MC.
Mm-hmm. And right. Or other, publications, whether it's a stylist or a well-known model or someone within the industry, it's very celebrity and very entertainment industry organized and promoted. They mm-hmm. do a great job of that. And again, they make no bones about it. That is who they
right.
are, and I think they set themselves apart from the industry in that respect also, which is great. There's room enough for everybody and for everybody's philosophy.
I agree. I'm always amazed at how well Trump and his different organizations cross-promote. Everything is promoting, something else, and they're all intertwined so that he's bringing, if you usually watch a pageant but not Celebrity Apprentice, now you see this, you might watch Celebrity Apprentice too. So he's bringing viewers from one original concept to another concept, and it all just kind of flows together. One thing that kind of bothers me that exists in the pageant industry, and I don't know if this bothers you or not, but I really am surprised by the fact that some people are so vehemently pro Miss America and anti Miss USA, or pro Miss USA and anti Miss America. And from my perspective, Carl, there's room in pageantry for both as long as they're a well-defined and communicated brand so that contestants know, what one is and what the other is. What is your opinion on this I like one but not the other kind of approach?
I don't think it's as prevalent as, you may have presented or some people do. Now, of course, each one has their own supporters. And again, Miss America, scholarship-based, it has a talent-based competition as part to win the overall title. It is very educational. Grassroots organization, volunteers, the Miss Universe, Miss USA organization, again, those are run by state directors. That is their livelihood for the most part. Entertainment-driven, part of the Trump organization. Two different philosophies, two different sets of goals. Some are competition, yes, swimwear, eating wear,
right.
interview, et cetera. But again, one presents itself and is the world's largest provider of scholarships for women in the world, bar none. One mm-hmm. is very entertainment or organized and promoted to help these young ladies get their start if that's what they're looking to pursue in the entertainment industry. And many of the state titles, many of the national titles, whether it is Stormy, who just gave up her Teen USA title, is moving to L.A. In
right.
New York, they also work with the New York School for Film and Television in providing them that foothold and initial training before they mm-hmm. make that jump to L.A. from New York or vice versa.
Right. No, I think the path, the career path that they've articulated for Miss USA is very clear. How would you say, looking back over, those first years when you were backstage pushing sets around, how would you say the pageant industry has changed, and how would you say it has remained the same?
I don't think it's really changed too much. What has changed is the way that we as Pageantry Magazine promote them. What has changed is the yearly growth in the numbers of events, the number of options that these young people have. I think the core values have always remained the same. Again, what has changed are the way that the organizations present themselves as, and also within offering the opportunities for whether it's price packages, scholarships, whatever the case may be. Again, when you're attending something in person, it's reputation of that event them. Do they offer optional talent? Word of, is it glitz? Is it natural? That has been the big change. How many different events that are out there? Again, natural versus glitz. Two basic styles, but numerous, numerous opportunities within each.
You know, I agree with you. I think there are so many pageants now that literally there's a pageant going on somewhere, probably many pageants going on somewhere, either, you know, within the United States or worldwide on any given weekend, and tons of contestants are participating. You know, I'm always surprised when people, like once or twice a year, I'll get someone ask me, do you think pageantry is dying? And I'm always just like shocked by this question because I don't think that people understand how large the pageant industry really is. How do you respond to that question? Do you think pageantry is dying?
Well, of course not. And that's not just because, you know, I publish Pageantry Magazine.
When right.
You look at the industry, there's a new event cropping up and being founded every day. The systems are growing. The numbers continue to increase across the board. If that was not the case, they couldn't afford to do it. They could not stay in business. Now, some numbers and some systems may be down. A lot of that goes back to how they promote their events and how they get it out to the masses. A great example would be, let's take television. How many shows nowadays are based on some premise of the pageant or the glamour lifestyle industry, whether within modeling or within the pageants?
Mm-hmm.
There are at least 4 to 5 a year that come out. And now it's in the fashion industry, even Oxygen Network has them. Bravo has several of them. Again, it shows the interest to the masses is there. Otherwise, they could not produce the telecast.
No, it wouldn't be financially feasible. If someone were to say, where do you think pageantry will be in 10 to 20 years from now? Like, what is the future of pageantry? How do you think it's going to change or remain the same? Do you think aspects of it are going to change? What do you think?
Well, just look at the past 30-some-odd years that we've been involved. Again, you have the core values. Things don't change. What changes is the way that is presented to the people. It changes in the way that the people accept it and want to follow it. You will always have the supporters at the grassroots levels for certain events. You will always have the supporters of other events. And again, I don't think it's really changing. It just evolves in how it's presented. And it evolves to also reflect the culture of today and society's values. Again, in the 60s, swimsuit competitions. Can't have these.
Right.
Again, overcoming that with the scholarship organizations. It offers the young people an opportunity to compete in how they want to. A lot of events, as you well know, sportswear versus swimsuit.
Right.
Aerobic wear, especially within, you know, the growing Mrs. or Ms. Part of the industry. There's something for everyone. It gives them an opportunity to get to know people from across the country, from across the world. You know, I've been fortunate enough to travel, you know, out of the country many times judging events in Greece and Russia, Puerto Rico, Mexico. It gives somebody enough to learn more about the world, to learn more about themselves, to set goals for themselves as opposed to coming home, you know, from the office, going to the gym, or just plopping down on the couch. It gives families an opportunity to do many things together that, you know, I personally strive to do in my own life with my own wife and children.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there are going to continue to be more options within the pageant community. I think that, sure, there are a few pageants that are going to be dying off because they haven't been well run or well marketed, or there's no longer an interest for that particular pageant.
And that's just
but there are
business.
Yeah, that's just business. That happens in any community. I totally agree. And you know, that's just the nature of the culture as it evolves. And I think that now the pageants that we see that are doing a good job are all over Facebook. They're all over Twitter. They're promoting their title holders more instead of expecting the title holder to do all the promotion themselves. And I think it's really, in many ways, more visible than we've ever been able to see a title holder. You know, it used to be that you saw Miss USA or Miss America pictures, you know, once a year when she was crowned and then maybe when she gave up her crown. And now via social networking, we can keep track of them all the time and see what they're up to and see pictures same day or next day of an appearance. So I think it's really, really exciting. Well, I'm completely looking forward to the next issue of Pageantry, and I'm also looking forward to the digital version, which is going to become available next month. And I really appreciate your taking time to be with us, Carl. Of course, you're one of our favorites here on Pageant Talk Radio, and we're so glad you could squeeze us in between photo shoots for an interview.
Valerie, you're too kind. It was my pleasure today. And anytime you'd like to discuss all things, you know, glamour, lifestyle, pageantry, modeling, I'm more than happy to visit with you.
Great. Well, we'll be calling you again soon. Well, I've been visiting with Carl Dunn of Pageantry and Prom Time Magazine. To check out Carl, just click on the link on the Pageant Talk Radio show page. You can also follow Carl on Facebook. Just search for his name, Carl Dunn, D-U-N-N. Well, it's already time for a short break, but stay tuned because I'll be right back to answer your pageant coaching questions, including what type of talent you should use for a Miss America prelim, why some directors discourage contestants from using a coach, and when you should consider doing a practice pageant. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back here on Pageant Talk Radio.
Are you juggling the dueling demands of a career and pageant competition? The Ms. and Mrs. Corporate America pageant is the only pageantry system where beauty and business take center stage. It's a great opportunity to enhance self-confidence, strengthen leadership skills, and establish friendships with other professional women. It's your chance to be recognized for all your hard work and accomplishments as a phenomenal woman. During your year, we'll support your career achievements as well as your pageant appearances. Visit us today at MsCorporateAmerica.com to learn how you can represent and inspire the career women of America. Do you love pageants but feel like there just isn't a positive place on the internet to connect with others? MyPageantPlace.com is the place to visit on the web for all things related to pageant competition. We welcome anyone with an interest in pageantry, whether you're a contestant, family member, director, vendor, or pageant fan. Your free membership allows you to connect with state, national, and international directors, as well as coaches, makeup artists, and more. Plus, you'll enjoy special discounts available only to our members. Visit mypageantplace.com today and enjoy the positive side of pageantry. Miss America 1980, Cheryl Pruitt Salem, has been designing winning competition swimwear for elite contestants for nearly 30 years. Now, she's put together an exquisite selection of suits in her Platinum Collection. Platinum Collection swimsuits are individually handmade to your specific measurements using only the finest materials available. We custom weave our lining fabric to provide support and protection, and our fashion swimsuit fabric is the best in the business. From the finest shoes and pageantry to accessories and swimwear created by a Miss America winner, visit www.platinumswimwear.com to find everything you need for your winning competition.
Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on a secret. I've just released an audio CD of my Mastering the Pageant Interview Teleseminar, and I'm making it available to listeners of the show. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, 2 secrets for winning the onstage interview, plus much, much more. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPod. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my new Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $99.95. I want you to know that as soon as the audio CD is posted on the website and available to the general public, the price is going to go up. To get yours, just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page and order yours today so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.